I'm starting recording. So fuck it.
Yeah, we had a really cool weekend.
Yeah, did you? Was it fun having the whole team there?
Yeah, it was actually awesome, especially this morning. We had a lot. I mean, the show was fucking obviously.
Dude, awesome. It looked awesome. Like you guys just like looking at like it was pretty cool. It must be pretty cool when you're like in the gym and you're just like looking at athletes and there's like four of you around. Like it seems like it makes it like a really big deal for that athlete. Because I feel like that's like a pretty cool thing, like to have that photographed and like you guys, it's like you, Tyler, Dylan, just stand there, Maverick, looking at this athlete, like posing.
So we didn't actually, mostly it was honestly Dylan and I, just because Tyler lives in Calgary, right? So he wasn't staying at the hotel and he had his own athletes. And then Tyler was just sending me some pictures of his athletes. But what we were doing was actually, so we would all go in like the washroom at the venue where because when they're backstage, we're backstage early and stuff. So we'd go and we'd get Tyler's guys to strip down and Tyler would kind of give me his thoughts and what he was thinking. And I would give him his thoughts and Dylan would contribute. So that, like you're saying, it did happen. With Pat, it more so was I went and just looked at him and Dylan was with me. We'd pop by his hotel room because Patrick and I stayed at the same hotel. So I'd go to his room. He was literally one floor away. I'd check on him. He'd send me. So Friday was a little different because I was getting my tattoo. So I just told Pat, I want pictures 2 hours after every single meal when I'm on the tattoo bed. And I told my artist, I said, I don't care if this takes extra and you got to bill me for the hours. Every 2 hours, I need a break on the table because I got to update diet or whatever. And it actually worked out great. So my artist, and it was a small world, he knew some people competing in the show and he used to work with a couple of bodybuilding coaches. He never competed, but his wife did. And so he knew all about it and stuff. So he was just kind of grilling me and talking to me about it. And he was actually like, oh yeah, let's see what he looks like now. What are you doing with him now? So I was kind of just telling him what I was doing while I was doing it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that seems awesome. So yeah. It just looks cool to be a part of, like, to be honest. And you guys, I mean, you guys absolutely dominated the show. So
yeah, so. It ended up being, I got to sit down here and obviously over the next, we're doing a qualifier now, a pro show or a pro qualifier here in 2 weeks with him. And I'm going to have to sit down here and kind of reverse engineer some things. And Dylan and I were actually talking like half an hour ago about what maybe I could do differently to bring him even better. But I think realistically, it just comes down to pushing for the next couple of weeks and bringing out a little bit more detail in the glutes, maybe a little more separation in the quads. But and I actually went and asked, so do you watch the Bro Chat, like bodybuilding podcast with Fuad in them?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul was on. He was the head judge of this show.
Okay.
So I went and asked him afterwards and I said, hey man, like, just so you know, like I was coaching Patrick, the overall winner. What did you think? Where can we be better? What can we do? And he kind of gave us some feedback there. And Patrick's old weak points were glaringly hamstrings. Like his side shots, he literally had zero hamstring, like none.
Yep.
So we worked hard to bring that up and he did have hamstrings on stage, especially when he posed it properly. So I pointed that out and I said, how were they? And he said, honestly, if he had none before, you guys did good job. And kind of the biggest thing for me was I wanted to know like fullness and conditioning. When we're going to a pro qualifier in a couple of weeks, where can we really change that from a judge's eye, right? Because I know what I think. And I thought he was very full and sharp, especially at night.
He was very full.
Yeah. Well, even looking at the changes in 3 days, me and Dylan were looking at like the changes in his density, but it's kind of weird. It was really hard to gauge it by what we saw on stage because the lighting was so shit, man.
The lighting looked bad. The lighting looked really freaking poor.
Well, so for instance, and I can show you after, right after Patrick got off stage, I had him go back to his hotel and send me ring light pictures from where I would have consistent pictures prior to that, right? Like even when I was in Pat's room, I was taking pictures with the ring light on so that I had the consistent things to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when he got off stage, I said, I want you to go home right now because I can see you on stage and like that package looks a lot different than what I seen in pictures 3 hours ago before you came to the venue and what I seen in person 3 hours ago. And obviously I seen him backstage and the lighting was horrible there too. So I'm like, I mean, even when you're ready, you look good in any lighting at the end of the day. So he still looked good,
mm-hmm.
but every athlete looked good. And then like all the people that look good and they get on stage and it was just very washed out and it flattened people out and stuff. And so as soon as he got back to the hotel right after prejudging, he went to his room and he sent me those pictures. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, we're on.
Like, yeah, because he looked like a little clay-like. Like yeah, it seemed like his tan was like really thick.
That's what everybody's looked like, man. It was very, it washed out. Like, there was dudes that were dark. Cause Patrick's also black, right? Like he is darker skinned. Yeah. But it was just, the lighting was a very flat lighting that just made.
Yeah. But based on the photos that you sent into our group chat, like he was on.
He was on. I'm not going to hide anything. He was on. I was very, very, very happy with how it came together. And we were just, obviously Dylan and I were chatting and making some calls. And I was just like, I think this is the place to be. And I'm glad we started loading him early. I started loading him on Tuesday. So I loaded him and I didn't do a front load. So I kind of basically went with refeeds we had done like 10% and then, or sorry, I think I started with a 15% mm-hmm. and then drove another 10% on top of that. And then I drove another 7% on top of that. And then I pushed even harder and I went back to like another 10% on top of that. And then it was just from there, just small little sodium manipulations. And I pulled water back a tiny bit, but I still had him eating drink. Like I think he did 4.5 liters the day before the show.
Yeah.
Things were good, man. It definitely all landed. So now we just go replicate that and maybe a little bit better. And I know a couple things we could maybe do that I think that'll have him even better in morning, because I had him better at night show, I think, than we did in the morning show. And he was good in the morning. Like, I think he still would have been winning in the morning regardless. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have to do a ton of posing at night show to kind of solidify it. But
plus, he nailed his posing.
Posing was dialed too. I was very happy with that. He did his homework. You know what I mean? When you have somebody who's actually practicing the way they should, like 30, 45 minutes a day for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and like zero shaking in him, just a statue holding everything. And there were small things we were working on, like how to pose his hamstrings better to make sure he was sitting on them and stuff like that. But no, it was a good show, and it was nice to get a second overall back to back in the last couple of weeks to start the season, which was cool. And
yeah,
that's the best thing, man, was just having everybody there, right? Like the whole crew and the support. I know Pat loved it, and it was awesome, man. Wrapping up this morning with what we did was really cool too. So no complaints here, brother. Fulfilling weekend.
Yeah, how was training? How was training this morning?
I didn't train, actually. I'm getting blood work done tomorrow morning. So I got my tattoo Friday, rested Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was just chilling for me.
I trained. Look at you being a good boy over here. Yeah,
he was. I trained the 2 days before. I didn't train today just because there was four of us, and Maverick and Tyler were training the same body parts. So me and Braden thought, well, we're going to get some content anyway. So we might as well, we'll just put them through a session. And four people to train is a very long time. Yeah. And we wanted to do this podcast and we had work to do and stuff. So it's like, hey, this way it'll be a little quicker. And that worked out. You know, Braden and I were talking before. It was really interesting for me to get to go through this because I've only ever prepped one person that was not even as big as him, but next closest thing, maybe 50 pounds lighter. And it was really interesting to get to see. And for me, I got to play this little game because you and I talked about this before, Anthony, in some of our conversations, but I try and kind of imagine what I would be doing. And then him and I would get to talk about it. And then I would get to watch him make a call. And it was really nice that at about, you know, let's say 15 out of 20 turns, I would have been exactly where he was. Two would have been a little different, but probably the same. And then the other things, I think I would have been wrong. And I was like, oh no, what he's doing is way smarter, you know? So that was really interesting for me. And I felt really happy with that. Cause like, that's as basically as almost as advanced of a prep as you would get. And not really, all of them are uniquely hard and difficult. Each division has its own challenges, but for the peaking specifically, I would say that the bigger the bodybuilder, it's a little bit more tricky, right? So it was really interesting to get to go through that. It gave me a little bit of confidence, like, okay, I'm ready to prep some people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying people like him necessarily, but
why not?
You're correct. Why not? let's go.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, I don't get to be there in person, but Braden's been fortunate enough to and kind enough to send us photos throughout both his last two peaks, which so happened to do pretty damn well. And it's cool to kind of get the eye, and I'm like, okay, is this guy getting drier? Is he getting fuller? And like, I'm trying to develop my eye in a sense.
Sure. And it takes, that's what it is, man. It's just experience developing your eye. And like, that's also why like Tyler did a hell of a job prepping his athletes too. Right. And that's his first time ever doing it. And that's why, like, I didn't want to be hovering over him, just telling him what to do. I wanted to let him do it. And there was things where he'd come to me, and I like Tyler for that too, right? Because if I tell him what I would do, and he has a different idea, he'll challenge me on it. He'll be like, well, but why not? And I'm like, okay, so let's dive into why not, right?
Yeah.
And there was a couple small things, and it's just a learning curve. But I mean, for me, that's a really cool part about this, is being able to have Dill there and mentor him through some peaks and stuff like that, and share it with Tyler and like you, even obviously, right? Like, you know, stuff about the prep that most people don't know. And like 11 days out, he was going to pull out of the show because he hurt his back so bad he couldn't walk for 3 days, right? And like there's a lot of lifestyle stressors, there's some other stuff, that some personal stuff that I was chatting with Patrick and his wife about yesterday that I didn't even know about with this prep. And like when he told me, I'm like, shit, you combine that with blowing your back out 11 days out,
yeah
I can see why you were on an emotional roller coaster and wanted to just throw in the towel. I do. But then like he got off stage, man, and he came in, gave me a big hug, and I just looked at him and I said, you tried to fucking quit 11 days ago. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. Preps are interesting. And at the tail end, it's really easy to get in your own head and kind of fucking just be like, fuck this, and throw in the towel. But that's what we're here for. You're literally paying us to do a job. And I take a lot of pride in doing that job. And if I tell you you'll be ready in 11 days when you want to quit, trust me when I tell you, you'll be fucking ready in 11 days. And if you aren't, I take that loss on the chin. You don't.
You know, I found very interesting too is, you know, I was trying to reverse engineer it from like all of the athletes' perspective, because Pat was very welcoming to me. So I give him a lot of credit to that. He was very, you know, and he would ask me questions and I tried my best to answer them. And, you know, he was very receptive and, you know, I really liked that about him. And he was very welcoming. So that made it really better for me, because then I felt like I was, you know, there for a purpose, and it allowed me to learn. So I really appreciate him for that. But yesterday, Braden and I were hustling. Like, it's, to be honest, it's kind of like how everything else that I'm involved in happens. Like when we're at our supplement store stuff, or Braden and I are doing stuff, we're just workers, man. It's like, you know, like we're back and forth like 400 times. Like, I don't know, you know, we're right at the front, you know, giving posing cues. Every athlete was getting looked after by one or more coaches at a time. That's just something that the athlete experience is going to be next level, in my opinion.
Yeah. And like for me, that's something, and I mentioned this to Dill on our drive home this morning. We were kind of talking about things and just reflecting, and like, it's something I pride myself on. And I realize it's not always going to be that way, especially if I continue to grow as a coach, right? Like, I've only ever missed two shows for my athletes, like not been there in person. And that means like all around the country, like I go to every show. One of them was because I had four athletes competing in a different show. So I had four athletes in a local show, and I had one athlete 8-hour flight away. So it was like, okay, well, like, I can't be in two places at once. And then the last one was just my guy in Van Isle. I couldn't make it work. But other than that, I really try to be at the show, and it's cool when you see people recognize that, right? Because like, I don't care who you are. You can tell me I'm a shitty coach if you believe that or whatever. And that's not going to bother me. I really don't care, but I'll tell you one thing. You're never going to tell me I don't fucking care, because I do. And if you actually see me work, you'll realize that I care. And that was one of the coolest things for me was, and it actually has happened the last few shows. After the show, I get people that message me and they're like, man, it was really cool to see you in action. Cool to see you doing what you do, running around the venue, taking care of people, like making sure your guys were on, right? And that's, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't deserve a medal for that, because I think that's the way this should be done, right?
That's our job, right? That's what we
get. That's exactly what, it's literally, this should be the least stressed an athlete should be. How do you make sure there's no stress? Fucking take on that stress yourself. I pride myself on literally being the most stressed fucking asshole on show day, because I want that stress. I don't want you to have that stress.
Yeah.
Because if I fuck up, I want that to be on me. You're ready. You did the work to get here. Now it's on me to land the plane, and you just do what I tell you.
I think it's that we like value our position. It's not just like an exchange of money, because, you know, I feel the same way. Like, you're bringing that like elite athlete, ex-hockey player sort of like coach mentality into it. I'm just bringing like the farm boy work ethic, where it's like, well, it's your stuff, like you have to do it. No, it's not like they're doing it, you're doing it. Make sure they're looked after, you know. So it was just really cool to see. And even for me, I had two people reach out, potential competitors that were just kind of saw us go through the process, and they were like, I just think that you know, you'll just care a lot. And, you know, I'd like to give you a shot potentially. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. So this weekend I was talking with I have one natural guy. We're going to compete next year. We kind of chatted and we laid out kind of the groundwork for the last growth phase, which is going to start in 3 weeks here. And I'm like, okay, November comes around, we're starting prep. I was like, we have an April show that's in your hometown. I was like, it's one of the biggest natural shows probably out there. It's probably one of the best run natural shows out there within the United States. And I'm like, okay, we're going to hit this. I was like, you better be ready. I was like, this next growth phase, this next 5 months of growing that we have, I was like, be prepared, because it's going to be, I'm not taking any kind of chances on this one. I was like, I'm going to push you hard. And I think a lot of that, and you kind of talked about the caring aspect. And I think that was a big game changer for me this week in terms of things. The guy next to you kind of knows, because he was in on all the conversations with it. We spent 4 hours on the phone on Monday.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. We spent 3 hours in our car ride talking about you.
Well, we spent four hours. Obviously, we spent like a good like hour and a half on one of Dylan. I gave Dylan his time back and we kind of wrote out a protocol for one of his new clients. But we had a good chat with one of my athletes, which taught us a lot of good things, which taught me. I had a lot of good reflecting points. And then I have a really good conversation that Dylan and I recorded that brought about what the direction I wanted to take things. And I feel like this has kind of been set up recently, just like through talking with you guys and through kind of being who I've been talking to recently, kind of setting up how I look at things and how I want to be a coach. And Dylan also challenged me in various ways this past week by saying to do these few things. And honestly, I lost a few clients. But guess what? I gained a few back. Yeah. And I gained a few back that fit my mold. Like, these people know how to train. They know exactly what they're doing. I actually got one that's coming from a coach that I respect greatly. And so he's willing to give me a shot, which is pretty cool. I think this is probably the first time I've actually had someone who's come from a coach, another really, really good coach.
I remember that feeling too. Yeah. Like it was yesterday. Like, I remember, you know, I actually, before him and I started working together, like in business, like coaching together, I was his client and we were already having some, like a few crossover things going on. And then I was having some with Justin. That's about when I kind of started to feel that ripple effect. And, you know, that was not quite a year ago. And it was like, holy man. Okay. This is interesting now. Like, my name's just even what I didn't even expect to, let's say, quote unquote, win when you're in the considerations, but just the fact that my name was going in some of those buckets was very interesting. And now I have a lot of clients that's happened with. So it's fun. Yeah. Growth in everybody.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty cool to kind of, I'm gaining now, and it's pretty weird because Dylan said this is going to happen. Like, Dylan actually predicted this is going to happen, is that I was going to start getting athletes. He's like, you're not going to know it. He's like, it's not going to hit you. Like, it's not something that you're directly going to say that's going to speak to someone, but he's like, people have their eye on you and you don't know it. And he's like, the way that you put out things and the way that you kind of take your athletes now, it's like, he's like, you're going to notice this shift in things.
I think when you take that golf tee and you stick it in that governor fully and you take that fucking thing off full throttle, you're going to see it continue to happen, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's, and what I'm saying there is, as your confidence continues to elevate in yourself, and there's no second guessing in something, you just know, like, I'm fucking doing this because this makes sense and this is going to elicit this fucking result, and you fucking do it. It's like, well, yeah, it did do that because you knew what you were talking about, and that shit just keeps happening, and then more and more people are going to come, right?
Well, the craziest thing is I kind of will dive into it a little bit because I want to dive into the strategy that Dylan and I came up with. And it was, I called a lot of people out on their bullshit, and it was cool because I literally sent a video. I made a 20-minute video and I sent it to all my clients. And the coolest part was, for the first time in a while, I got every single client in one day to message within my group chat, and they all, in front of everyone, in front of the whole, it's only a small group, but in front of everyone, they called themselves out and they put themselves within what Dylan kind of gave me, which is the tier hierarchy and the competent and the compliance hierarchy of things. And each person wrote which hierarchy they think they were in, and they all labeled themselves in the lower tiers, right? And I'm like, this just shows how much why more you have.
Why are you there? Well, why are you there?
This is all part of it.
This is all part of it, because then they started to figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
This is the part that we had the conversation about during the 4-hour thing, is we figured out, okay, if this person's saying all this, then I know the other people are definitely having the same things. Yeah. And I was able to call out in the past 2 weeks, or in the past week, in either during the week when I had conversations with people, and in check-ins this past weekend, I noticed who was still hanging on to BS and things, and who still wasn't being honest. And I called them out even more. And I was like, this is going to suck for you. I was like, you're going to fall behind amongst your teammates. I was like, if you don't get your shit together, like, you're going to be. Well,
something that's really cool with that whole thing too, right, is like, it gets to a point that it auto-regulates where you don't have to point out those tiers, because you get to a point where you have a bunch of tier one fucking athletes working their ass off, changes week to week. And I'll tell you this, I told Dylan this, I had a funny scenario happen. I had an athlete just cancel coaching and not tell me and just move on. And I wasn't upset, because I knew that athlete was, we'll say on the lower tier. They just, for lack of a better term, couldn't hang. And they weren't getting the results that they wanted. And it wasn't because of the plan that was in front of them. I'll tell you that much. It was not because of that. I know what it was because of. And they've hired another coach, and I know who the coach is. And I'm okay with it. I'm completely okay with it. Like I've said it a million times, there's more than enough for us all to eat. I don't get upset when I lose an athlete, just like somebody else shouldn't get upset unless there's some overlying thing there. But at the end of the day, if you can't get the results, chances are you're probably not working hard enough. And there is a reason why there's X amount of people getting results, right? And like, that's where this is going, is right now you've pointed out the tiers, but you're going to get to a point where those tiers are just there. You don't have to fucking point anything out, because everyone's tier one, and the tier four person that comes on and stays in tier four eventually goes, hey man, I'm sorry, I got to cancel coaching. And you're like, okay, awesome. That's great. Because quite frankly, you know what? You actually weren't going to belong here much longer anyways.
Yeah. It's actually funny, because Dylan actually told me how to kind of deal with this. And kind of this past week, from just getting a few more client applications, which I'm absolutely great for. Like, it's cool to be able to now, I'm now starting to roll in. It seems like I'm starting to roll in applications now on a weekly basis right now. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool now. Now I'm starting to get on a roll. And
the persistent hunt, friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? If I lose an athlete, I know exactly why I'm losing them. And it's not a me thing. It's either one, the culture that I'm building, and they can't keep up, and they can't keep up with the standards and the pressure of the culture.
People are scared of pressure. It breaks people.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I won't say who, but he'll be mentioned slightly. He's probably going to come back after he gets things settled with things, but I'm going to have fairly high expectations for when he comes back. But he said it today. He's like, I don't think I could be there to where I can give you everything. And I was like, okay. I was like, at least you told me that instead of just canceling.
Oh, 100%. That's great,
man. That's the best conversation to have. Cause like I said, either it just happened to me.
Yeah. I was like, just get your, I was like, hey,
what has happened? I would have said, you're damn right. You can't hang right now because you can't apply yourself.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But come back when you can, and I'll work with you.
Yeah. I was like,
you burn that bridge. That's also a whole nother.
Yeah. Bug. No. Cause he's been with me. He's been with me now for over a year. Right.
Yeah.
He's still one that made great, great progress, but his progress kind of stalled. And I was like, okay, what has been doing? Okay. Well, not all the boxes have been checked week after week things. And these little things kind of get in our way. And I'm like, okay, that's it right there. So I'm just like, I'm starting to turn a leaf over how I view clients leaving and how I view things. And I'm like, I'm not sad. I'm not like so threatened by people leaving anymore.
Good.
Like, I don't know how I could describe that because I feel like people in my position,
you don't have to, we get it.
Yeah. I feel like people, I know people, I don't think people understand. I'm trying to find my words here. I don't have a huge client load. Right. And you would expect someone with a small client load to be like, oh, I'm devastated that this person's leaving. Right. I'm like, I'm good.
No, because when you do have a huge client load, they'll be high quality clients.
Yes,
but I can explain that a little bit, because the further or more drastic that the future is uncertain, the less that you'll be concerned with it. So if your goal is 100 clients in the long term, and you have a low percentage of that and you're losing them, that's going to produce way more negative emotion than when you're 60% up that thing and you lose one or two.
Yes.
So it's very normal to feel that way when you're starting out, and it doesn't really go away.
No,
I think it just dissipates, because it's funny, Anthony, the way that I view this, there's like a Braden feels like the most comfortable, and then me, and then you, because we're all at, you know, like he's a little bit closer to kind of have shaping the culture that he's been wanting to create for a longer period of time. And that's a great experience. I'm really proud of him, by the way. It was really cool to get to see him like go through this peak, just like nailing it, you know. And it was really cool for me to see him like in action. Not that I had doubts or anything like that, but it was just like really awesome for me to see. I got to learn some stuff. But the point is, you're going to have that feeling, but it's more so just about if you do what you're supposed to be doing and you're not malevolent, and you're not resentful, and you're trying to do your best and just create the culture you want to be a part of, that you could lead, that you would be happy to have people become in part of, I think then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You're living authentically. It's if you have a bunch of skeletons in the closet and you're hiding things in the fog, then you're not going to feel good about it. And
so I was going to go into that too. We made an episode on imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So yep. if somebody has 15 clients, 20 clients, and they, in their head, they believe that they deserve to have 100 clients, but they also in their head know that they're actually an imposter and that they actually don't have the skills to do that. Well, they're going to be very, very upset when that roster is dwindling, versus somebody that knows they are absolutely capable of having 100 client roster and creating winning physiques or badass physiques, whether they're competitors or not. If that person truly believes and knows they have that skill set, that person is going to continually relentlessly work to have those athletes under their thumb and have that roster that they want, because they have the fucking skill set. You just need to give it time at that point. Right. And that's the biggest thing here. And I mean, you've heard it from us. You've heard it from Mark. You've heard it from other people around you. Like, you're working on that skill set and you have that skill set. So it is just a time thing, and you're starting to see the fruition, or you're starting to see the fruits of your labor come to fruition.
I think I didn't know what I wanted out of my team. I think that's probably what it was. To truly be honest, I came up with this name and I didn't think I had a true meaning behind it. Right. Until like this past few weeks. Like, I think that's really what it was. And now it's like,
you've cultivated a vision. Now you're aiming at the highest possible thing and aiming for that.
And now I have everybody on the same vision.
Yep.
Now I have.
Yeah.
There's a target.
You've identified a target.
Oh yeah. There's now a target. Oh yeah. There's a target.
More of an aerial view, which gives you, that's why you do, you know, ground research from an aerial plane, because it's easy to see and map out everything.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it's cool. And it's cool because everything, for one of the first times, I haven't had to make significant changes to people's plans. Like this week, I was like, now I'm starting to see, this is where I said I could see who was still BSing and who wasn't.
Yes.
People were dropping like 2 pounds, 3 pounds.
Yeah.
People got their cycles back this week. Like, I was just like,
it's said all the time, right? Like, you see it all the time, especially from, I know, in like kind of our tribe, and like, you shouldn't have to change a plan every week. Nope. Well, the people that aren't working, sometimes you do, but for me, I've actually literally put a rule in, like, if you're not executing, and for the most part, I can kind of see through the bullshit, I'm not going to change your plan, because if you went off plan, you didn't follow a fucking plan that's in front of you. How can I change that thing?
Okay. Yeah. So
you didn't answer the hypothesis.
Versus if you're just working relentlessly week after week, your physique is going to change for the plan I put in front of you. And if your physique is changing, I also don't need to change that plan. Now, will there be a time I have to change it? There will, of course. Yes, always there is. But I've had some athletes go 2 months without a change in plan, because
I think I've gone that long with you.
Yeah, because
change. I mean, I could be the perfect example of this. I went 5 fucking months without a change
in my plan. Right?
And I'm natural. The one person you think would probably need to get to change the plan the most, right, would probably be someone who is that way. And it's like, and we didn't change a single thing.
Yep.
But my whole look completely changed throughout that 5 months.
Exactly. Right?
So it's like,
I think, Anthony, also you're going to feel different levels of discomfort as you get to the new level, because you can think about it like this: imposter syndrome will sneak out of the closet, so to speak, every time you level up. So for me, this is sort of happening. And downstairs, Braden and I were talking before this, because I got these client inquiries, and one of them I had talked to in my hometown before. Mm-hmm. And I had inadvertently said, well, I don't have that much contest prep experience. And he referenced that back to me. And when I read it back as part of his message, I looked at Braden and I said, I'm selling myself short here, because I said, I have prepped like 25 people. That's not nothing. And I have a lot of knowledge, I think, on how to do so. And, you know, I have you in my corner. I was like, I need to get a little bit more confident somewhere. I'm not trying to say that I have, you know, the utmost and should be prepping everybody, but like, I think I can do a really good job, and it's about time I start acting like it.
Well, that's what I said to him. Like, why do you have to tell somebody you don't have all this experience prepping? It doesn't fucking matter. If they came to you to prep them, they believe in your knowledge, and you have the fucking knowledge. And I know that you have the knowledge, and you can have the experience. And if there's something that you don't have the experience on, I might have experience on it. And that's literally what I'm here for.
It's a sneaky form of self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Well, I think the funny thing is for our group, and I say specifically kind of us, is the thing of like, we develop a thing where we do go back and forth a lot. Right. And obviously it's like, we don't go as back and forth, like so in depth, but we help each other definitely. And it's like, well, if you don't have the experience though, Braden, you both can attest to this, right? When I had an athlete in contest prep, you guys were kind of still guiding me down the right path in terms of what decisions I was making, like where I wanted to go with things, kind of how hard I wanted to push. So it was like, I didn't have that experience, never had that experience. And I was like, but I was still making the right calls. And as it was going along, it kind of made sense. Like Braden was like, trust. It was kind of, I didn't look at it until like I started reflecting back after it. And I was like, I kind of know what I'm doing. I was like, it's like, I'm not fucking stupid in terms of things. Like, I think a lot of people, because you had to be given a chance at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, like Brayton, you were given a chance at one point, like for your first prep for someone. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of bonds and a lot of really good physiques are made, right? Is in those people that you gain that. Because I have this athlete right now that we have that plan to set out for whatever next year's show. Right. And we set that plan. And I'm like, you have a lot of trust in what we're doing. I was like looking back at what he's saying. And he's like, man, every single week, I'm just so focused on executing your plan. And you give me the hard things when I need the heart, when I need to be taken hard. And it's like, and I'm like, yeah, I was like, you trust me to guide you down this path. I was like, that means enough. I was like, I'm good to go. I was like, this kid trusts me with things. And right now I'm kind of gaining data to kind of transfer over to his prep right now while we're in this kind of cleanup health phase type thing. And I'm kind of just gathering what I'm going to use to kind of push him forward. And it's like, at one point you're going to give him the chance, right? And it's just using the culmination of knowledge along with the people that are in your circle to kind of get you there. Cause no one does a prep by themselves, right? In all actuality, like when's the last time someone probably does a prep all by themselves without consulting like a second pair of eyes, mm-hmm. right?
Probably rare.
Yeah.
Really
rare. I was going to say something for you saying like everyone gets their opportunity, and it's true. But the problem is there's a lot of people that don't lay the groundwork first before they get that opportunity. And that's where failure comes in, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to capitalize on those fucking opportunities if you want to go somewhere with it, whether you're an athlete or you're a coach. You know what I mean? Like, when you get given an opportunity and you're a hockey player and there's a scout at your game and you're 16 years old and you're getting drafted to the WHL and tonight's the night that scout's in the stands, well, here's your fucking opportunity. You better have a good fucking game, because if you don't, you might not have that scout there again and you might not get drafted, right? Or like as a coach, okay, you got a fucking good athlete and it's your first prep. Do something with it. You better do something with it, because if you don't, there's eyes and they're watching, and it might, and yes, it seems like pressure, but it is pressure. It's pressure to perform when you need to perform. And if you can't perform when you need to perform, well, you better go back to the drawing board and get the fucking tools you need, so you perform next time if you get given another opportunity. Right. And like, that's, for me, it's almost a double-edged sword, because I put a lot of pressure on myself with that stuff. And like, especially as I am coaching more pro athletes and stuff, and I get more opportunity, it almost becomes, it does become a lot more stressful. Right. But at the same time, I'm very confident in what I know. And I also understand that not every time is going to be 100%. but I know that I can go back to the drawing board and learn from what I made, because I'm very diligent in doing my homework with things, right? Like, these are the shots I called. I have our conversation with me and Pat. I could recite to you every call I made this weekend, even though they were from my head. I didn't have my spreadsheets in front of me. I didn't have everything in front of me. It was just fucking straight off the hip. This is what we're going to do. This is what I'm going to give you. But at the same time, I could tell you that right now, because I did the homework and I know what I need to go back and do, right? And like, if you fuck something up, well, you should be able to talk about that 5 months later, because you know what you fucked up and you know what you need to fix next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, I had something on my mind and I fully, oh, you talked about the pressure. I actually said this to my clients today because Dylan made me do a video. So Dylan challenged me to do a video. And I told people, and this is something that Dylan was saying, he's like, pressure them. He's like, put the pressure on them. And he's like, and I just made the reference, right? Like, we all know kind of the main huge reference. Pressure is either going to break you or it's going to make diamonds.
Yeah.
Right. And the key for us is to, every single time we put pressure, is just to make bigger and better diamonds. Right.
I really like the C-bum quote under pressure that he has on his shirts. Pressure is a privilege. It's true. It's very true.
It really is. We don't get many opportunities to do it, right? And to be under it. And under true pressure. I don't think people understand what does it mean to be under true pressure until you're in those situations where you have to make a left or right turn and you got to just pick it and go. And it's like, okay, then you live with it. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the biggest thing, and it comes back to our previous conversation about like athletes and stuff, like when you force them to level up and you look at a map and the treasure is north and 99% of people are trekking north, and somebody goes south and you grab that person and you say, hey, no, we're going north. And they go, no, we're going south. At some point, they're just going to get to the point where like, they're very, very not open to going north. So that's where those people, like you said, they leave, and that's okay, because the 99 other people are going north and they're heading in the right direction. Yeah, they might be going northeast. They might be going northwest. That's our job. Redirect that shit. Right? Bring them back. But they're still treading in the right direction.
Yeah. So that was the biggest thing I learned this whole week. I guess that was kind of a long ways around to what I kind of learned, was just like,
good, man.
Hey, I'm finding the path.
You know what I'm trying to do with you, Anthony? I'm trying to get you to be able to think around emotion, which is something I've been trying to master for a long while, because it's, you know, it's hard to do, you know, and skilled coaches and athletes are very, very good at doing this. And that, I think, is part of why that they're in those positions a lot of the time, is because under pressure, they can think, and under criticism, they can think. Because actually, a couple of my biggest critics, not specifically, because critics always have this way of twisting things into something that they're not. But out of that, because I've been a lot less emotional about it, I've been able to pull that apart. And I was like, actually, maybe there is something a little bit there that I'm missing, or I'm not doing, that I should be doing. And then you start thinking about that, which for me was putting pressure. So when this happened to me like a year ago, it was like, yes, I need to put a little bit more pressure on people. I don't want to just like handhold them through this. They need to be able to hunt for themselves. And that's when I started to develop the culture that I did. And it started to change for me. And it took a while, you know, but right now my shit, people on my team are clicking. The last 3 weeks I've texted him after Sundays or Mondays when I do my check-ins. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, I've got this roster. I did lose 15 to 20 clients in the last 3 months, but like I am gaining some that are just top notch. And I'm getting results like mad compared to before. And not that I wasn't before, but they're all, like you said, kind of like you said, it's like every week, boom, 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 like big groups of people making changes productively. And the culture is very, very good. So I'm really pumped. It's a mixture of that and this weekend, getting to meet Tyler, meet Maverick in person, you know, and Tyler and I get along really well. Seeing Braden, you know, go through this prep, seeing kind of the culture that Braden's already created here, you know, and then being able to, you know, get to be introduced to a bunch of people, get to know a lot of people. It's been a very exciting weekend. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Other thing too that I wanted to add to the emotion thing is, especially as coaches, right? Because I mean, I pride myself on this, and I know, I think we all do, is like, I can say this 100%, like our team, Team Miller Elite, is an absolute fucking family. And I've said it a million times, I'll go to war for any single person on this team, right? Like, in any case. But there also is a line when it comes to emotion that needs to be drawn between friend and coach. Mm-hmm. Because if you let that line get blurred and you become too friendly, that's where you start making poor fucking decisions based on emotion for somebody's friendship or relationship, right? And like, you didn't hire me to be your fucking friend. We became friends. We became family. You joined this team for a purpose because we have that culture. We have that family mindset. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you what to do that's going to get your, or I'm going to lead you in the direction that's going to get a job done. And the reason I brought that up was I sat down literally at the show, actually, with in between morning and night show, with a young gentleman who has a very, very good physique. And he actually won the overall in classic at this show last year. And he was self-coached, self-prepped. And he had a coach before that who just completely butchered things with him. And it ruined his faith in a coach, right? And he was saying some really cool things about the team and the culture we've created. And that was something I had to outline to him. I said, listen, when you join this team, because he's going to start working with me now for his national show, I said, when you join this team, you'll see some things. You're going to see that, like, I care a lot about you as a person, and we're going to become probably pretty close, and we'll joke around and we'll have fun. But at the end of the day, this is also, I mean, business. And you're telling me you want a pro card. You're 22 years old. You have an incredible physique. My job is to get you a fucking pro card. My job is not to pat you on the back and say, good job, man. Good job, man. When you deserve a good job, man, I'll give you it. But I ain't going to let the lines be blurred and just focus on being your friend. I'm going to be your coach first. Right. And I think that's where a lot of times there is blurred lines where, okay, you're coach and you're athlete, and then you get closer and you're still coach and athlete and friend. And at some point the coach fades away and the friend is there. And all of a sudden it's a friend coaching a friend. Right. And the decisions are being made based on, we're friendly, we're friends. Well, I don't give a fuck about your feelings. You need to diet harder and you need to lose 15 pounds in the next 12 weeks to get on stage. So yeah. I'm going to do what needs to be done to get you there. And if you're bitching and whining about it, I'm sorry. Then hate on me as your friend, but I'm doing this as your coach.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm headed. Like, now I'm able to, like, it's been pretty weird. So I've been able to joke with people this week, but I've been able to rein that in and be like, okay, now we're going to hammer this.
Yeah.
We're able to switch between that, and they got those messages way more. It was like, there was a little bit.
That's what I meant by that, because I think that's what you're doing too. You're you're dissolving that, not dissolving friendships, but you're dissolving the.
You're dissolving the lack of line.
Yeah, you're drawing a line in the sand. Yeah. You're drawing that line in the sand, saying, "I'm the coach. You're the athlete. I expect this. We are friends." We can be friends outside of when you check in with me and I'm making decisions based on this.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's like, if you're sending training, like if you're sending training videos, I was like, and they like make a joke about their training video or something or how they look. And I'm like, okay, I'll joke around with you here and be like, But then like outside of that, then I'll be like, okay, well, next week I still want to see whatever number for this many reps. I'm like, I'm going to call that out and be like, that's what I want. And they're like, done. They're like, we'll do. And I'm like,
100%.
I was like, good. Now we have this boundary set.
Even with me, man, I've caught myself doing this. And I've caught myself doing this, fuck it, like in the past couple months. I reply to somebody's training video and I'm like, hey, sorry, it seems like I'm ragging on you here. And then I send the message and I'm like, why are you fucking saying sorry?
Oh, I did that so much, man. I was, Dylan, you know this I mean? Is probably why Dylan, this is probably why Dylan called me out, because he's seen some of my messages to clients. And I would apologize to people for saying that. I'm like, because I think I even said it. I actually said it after we got off the combo with the client, Dylan. I actually said, I'm sorry for being kind of harsh today and that we were kind of harsh. And I was like, wait, it's like, why am I sorry? No, I was like, I'm not really. I was like, I'm not really sorry.
You are sorry. You're being sorry for caring. And that's fucked up. Don't be sorry for caring. And that's what I'm going with this. Like, I actually do care. I'm not sorry for telling you that you're training like a pussy. I'm not sorry for telling you that 4 weeks in a row that you quit 3 reps early. And if I tell you for the next 6 months, I'm not sorry for it. But at some point, you better fucking shape up, or yeah, you probably will end up in that fourth tier that just falls off.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, someone has to grab the kind of the grab the reins for themselves,
yep,
you know, and really steer themselves. I realized this like the year before I started working with Justin, but then he amplified that too, where it was like, oh, it just clicked. It seems kind of redundant to say out loud, but it's like, no, you do it. Actually, there's no like knowledge of secret urn of knowledge, or like there's no coach that'll just kind of do it, or there's no protocols. You have to relentlessly, like an African hunting dog, chase your prey, and it might be a rep for miles and miles and miles and get it, and then do it again and again and again and again and again until you have what you need.
Yeah,
and it's a long time.
Yeah, and yeah, that's it for that. Well, boys, I'm back with the mustache though.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We got like three.
Actually, I got something funny. Are we branching off into side stories now?
Sure.
Yes, we're branching off into side stories. Okay, I need a little bit of fourth wall.
So I got something funny here. When I'm getting my tattoo, I go to get my tattoo, and actually, I haven't told Dylan this part yet. I told him one part of this. So my artist, I told my artist when I sent him, because I didn't give him like an exact picture. I never do that. I give them an idea, and I like people like they're artists. They're creative, right? I want to let them do their thing, and that's what's going to build the best piece always, I find.
I agree. It's weird to send like a professional. That would be like someone telling us, hiring us, and then
saying, this is
the training plan I want to be.
These are the only foods I'm eating. This is the only.
I sent my guy like a sword reference because there is a specific sword for my last name.
Of course, and I get that.
Also, I just sent him like an ace of spade card. I'm like, okay, not very similar to this, but I wanted to give you an idea of what these two things look like, just so you kind of know.
And now use your fucking magic to create something cool that combines them. Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Charades. You just played a game of charades.
Yeah, so that's what I do. I just give him a rough idea. I give him some general guidelines and some references to go off of. And I said, you know what, take it. Well, he's obviously my artist now. I'm going to call him that because I'm never going to another artist. He was really good. He's 3 hours away from me. So I couldn't go get sized up for the size of the piece or anything. I didn't send him pictures of my neck, and I told him what I wanted. And he was like, okay, awesome. And he didn't even know that I have this other piece that it kind of connects to. Right. So I show up and he has these sketches, and there's a bunch of different sizes of things. And he looks at me and like took my shirt off. And he's like, okay, you're kind of a bigger guy. I think we should go pretty big with this. And I'm like, yeah, we should. We should go big with it.
Go big or go home, baby.
And he goes, okay, so are you cool with me going up the back of your head? you know what? Like, yeah, sure. I'm pretty like, don't really give a fuck about a lot of things, but I don't know if I'm ready to go up my skull yet and take some hands up the back of my head behind my ear. And he's like, okay, well, what if we went lower? And he was like, I'm not going to have to shave some of your beard off actually, or anyways. And I was just like, no, we're not going to do that. And I was like, yeah, are you sure? And he's like, I can make it fit. And I just want to, because he was like, he literally said to me, he's like, my work is really good, and I want it to be visible. And he's like, when you have a shirt on, you're going to want it to be visible. Like, you're not getting this to cover it up. And I said to him, 100%, I'm done with the days of getting tattoos to be covered up. I wouldn't be getting a neck tattoo if I wanted it to be covered up.
Yeah.
And he was like, so I just want to position it in the best way possible, that it kind of flows and it doesn't look like really weird coming out of a shirt with just a couple fingers and stuff. I'm like, man, you know what? Just do what you want to do, and I'll just give you these guidelines. Please just don't touch my beard. And let's just not go up the back of my head. At some point, if I decide to get the back of my head tattooed, because he was like, do you always get a fade and this and that? I'm like, yes, just I'm not ready for up the head yet. But man, and then like I said, he does his magic, spends a couple minutes, gets the sizing down, whips it on my neck. And I'm like, all right, beard's there. It's not on the head. It's a perfect placement. Let's do it. And it worked out good. So, but anyways, I just thought it was funny because you start talking about the mustache, and we always talk about my beard and stuff. And I was like, oh man, I'd rather you go on my head than you touch my beard, to be honest. I'd rather you tattoo.
That's worse.
Yeah. I'd rather you tattoo the whole back of my head rather than shave my beard.
Yeah, we got like the three stages. We got like mine, we got the mustache, and then we got Dylan, who has like the beard, but it's very trimmed up. And then we got Brayton, who has like the monster.
Full throttle. I actually, I went to get a haircut in between shows. I got there and I was like, hey bro, you're looking like a mutt, dude.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Dylan, aka the bum. Dylan's like the bum.
Yeah, so I went and got
we were joking about this too, because we do the same shit. Like, my barber always gives me shit because if I don't have an event to go to, like if I don't have a show or a posing seminar or a wedding or something, man, I just sit in my office. I don't need to get my shit done. And it's like,
dude, look at this.
It's funny because when I was younger, I was getting a haircut every 2 weeks. Same. I was making sure I was at the barber. I had the same appointment every day. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my shit done. And now it's just like,
this is like 3 months.
I just got shit I got to do. And when I get my downtime, I just want to use that for my downtime. And now it's like, okay. Like even the wedding I went to there a couple weeks ago, I think I told you guys how I was rushing to try to get my barber to fit me in the morning of the wedding because I forgot about it. My wife's the night before like, hey, remember we got that wedding tomorrow? And I'm like, oh God, my beard is absolutely disastrous and my hair is insane.
Well, I risked it. I canceled my barber shop. Dylan, this is how much you mean to me, buddy. I canceled my barber shop appointment to have our 4.5 hour call on Monday. So honestly, look at this.
You have great
look
ball. At this, I think
John. Look at this, John. This is three fucking months.
I think you should just grow your flow, man. I dig it.
No, actually, what I'm doing is I'm gonna fade the corners.
Yeah, yeah. Leave the top.
I'm gonna leave the top and the back and the back long.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking not do the full sebum because I got straight hair, so I can't do my hair doesn't curl in the back, so I can't really do that.
I would if I didn't have to go through the awkward stage of growing my hair to grow it long, man. Fuck,
I'm in the awkward stage right now. I don't know.
I had long hair. I loved it, and I would just if I could grow my hair long and have my beard, I would be very happy. But I refuse to go through that fucking 8 months awkward stage again. I look like a fucking moron.
I got flow going though.
Yeah, so you do have a flow growing, bro. My hair, I was going to grow mine one time too, and that was like last year. I made it like a quarter of the way because I can grow a full-blown afro.
Oh,
yeah. No, I'm not kidding. this big. I'm going to get my distancing right here. Yeah, anyway, that big. It's wild. Like in high school,
Can you please do that? Can you please, for us, please do that? We need to bet on something. We need to bet on something that I know I can win. So, and then that would just be Dylan has to grow his hair out. Because I just want to see reels with Dylan have a fucking afro doing reels. Trying to be serious as fuck.
I was going to say, we'll tell him to put a pick in it.
I did that.
There would be no way. Not going to lie, though, because you wear your blue light blockers and your red thing and your like all your things into the fucking gym. So if you try to wear that with a fucking afro, people would be like, who the fuck is this 60s fucking
hippie? I'd look like Richard Simmons or some shit.
An extremely goofy movie. that's so
I fun. Can't do it. The only thing I can't do is my back of my hair just grows so I cleaned up if I had.
Hold on. I have something to bring up. Have I showed you guys my YouTube interview when I was playing junior hockey and I had a handlebar mustache?
Yeah. No, you did not know. You've not known.
Oh, man. It was outrageous.
Wait. Wait.
Total.
Wait. Wait. You have this?
It's YouTube, my name, interview.
It's unbelievable.
Bro. You're also going to get to watch me absolutely pipe some guy in this hockey fight.
Yeah, of course. What else is new? This was so fun. This was before Braden was a trend out.
Yeah, so I'll just say this. Anybody listening to this still, if you want to look me up on YouTube, just search up Braden Miller interview, and there's an interview with Shaw when I was playing junior hockey. And I looked like quite the mutt.
Yeah, you looked unreal.
Please tell me it's not the Brooks Bandit forward.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, Brooks.
No, it's not. Dude, you look like a fucking... Oh, I'm sharing this screen. There is no way we're not sharing this screen on this YouTube today.
We have YouTube. Yeah.
Yes, let's see it. Oh my God.
Here we go. No way.
Yeah. You need to bring that back now.
How nice is that flow?
That's unreal.
Oh my God, look at that.
That's
it's all about the fucking money. Stash. The dude's got the fucking hang. The dude's got the fucking rails. Oh my God. You got handlebars, bro.
You were full on biking, bro.
Oh yeah.
You were a fucking ape hanger.
Play it. Let's watch it.
Dude, you look like you're about to fucking whack someone, man.
You just did.
See, if I could get that back, I would bring
you
that
should,
back
you
now.
You should do it now.
No, it takes so long.
Can you please do this?
No, absolutely not.
It's fucking awesome.
When you pop someone,
comes right out the back of the helmet, bro.
Man, my entire team for my one season, my entire team by playoffs, our entire team had black long hair. No, you weren't allowed to cut your hair. It was $100 fine if you cut your hair. Our entire team when playoffs started had long ass hair. Everybody dyed it jet black. We walked in
jet black.
We had red tracksuits head to toe. We walked in the like ring for the playoffs. Floor. We all had bandanas on our head.
Oh, look at this guy. Wow.
Lefts too. Giving him dirty. Wow.
Lefts. I'm a lefty. I'm a
southpaw.
Are you? I am.
Fuck, I didn't know that. I'm happy I found that. I don't care.
You got a lot more. And I line up as a righty to start.
You got a lot more handsome. I can tell you that.
What's that?
You got a lot more handsome. I can tell you that.
Oh man, that was I'm glad we just
damn lost. Man, you were piping that dude with lefts. There's like, a fucking machine.
That's the old me. That's what I used to do.
That sounds like a good
imagine time. Remember that story that Brayden shared when he was like trend out? That's exactly what I picture when he lifted up that dude
against, when I flipped on the guy and when I was when I was a couple of days out of, and I was on Halo, and decided to take the dumbbell out from under my hand. Yeah, that was the wrong decision to do, man.
That's what I imagined that you were about to do to that dude. You're just like left. You're like a goddamn kid.
At that point, honestly, it probably would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, way worse.
There was literally, you know, on like an NHL, you can get into fights. You were literally like a kid, like spamming like the square button, like getting left. You're like left. You were just like, I'm just gonna cock this.
Here's also what you have to remember: in that video, I was probably 175, 180 pounds. When that other stuff happened, I was definitely not that light.
No, for sure not.
Oh my god, that's fucking great. If you are listening to us, you have to go watch the YouTube for this part because that is fucking great.
You should put the link in the description. The YouTube link in the description.
100%. I'm 100% gonna do it. But no, I'm back to regular things now. So now I'm back to dieting. My diet breaks over. My lovely 350 grams of carbs goes back down to 185 grams of carbs.
And you're even more starving now.
I'm hungry as fuck right now.
Bro, I'm telling you, I looked at him today and I was like, man, my shit is hungry. We made a couple adjustments. My physique's changing every day, which is kind of fun. So, but like I told him, plus I know for sure my steps were 5 to 10 times more than they usually were.
At least 10 times like, what they normally are.
I would eat a meal, especially training. After I'd eat my post training meal and I'd be at the show like an hour later and I look at him and I'm like, what the fuck? I have to eat again. I feel like it's crazy.
Well,
I'm
the same way right now. Like literally, I think just from the activity increase,
that's got to be what it is.
I've told you guys, like my steps in a day normally, and like Cam has them set at 3,000 or whatever. But at this point, we're growing. Like we're not dieting hard, and I'm not shooting to hit 3,000 exactly. I'm better off doing less because I don't have to push my food too high. Because I do get to a point where my food is too high, and
eating
feel like shit. Which at the end of the day, I'll do regardless. But anyways, I feel it good with my food. Like if calories are around 3,500 or whatever, and I feel good with it. But fuck, I didn't miss a meal this week, which is another thing I'm very proud of.
Me neither.
In the past, when I went to shows, this isn't a problem. It's all about the athlete, right? But how can I lead by example when I'm somebody telling somebody that, hey, when you have situations arise and you go away for a weekend,
in your work or whatever,
I expect you to be dialed in. Well, when my work comes up and I travel for a weekend and all of a sudden on show day, I'm fasting till 9 p.m. because I'm not eating in the morning and I'm just taking care of the athlete. It's like, no, dude, you can figure your shit out. You can get your meals in. You can get everything sorted out and still take care of people. And I even told Cam before this week, I was like, I got my shit sorted out. This is my problem before and I'm holding myself to it. And it's not like I don't need a pat on the back for this. I just need to do it because I know I'm capable and I can do it. And I did it. But going back to what we were saying, holy fuck, I was hungry all weekend just from walking around all the time.
Oh,
I'm starving
dude.
Right now, and I just punished my meal right before we got here.
Like, if we ever have a third person do part of our leg day with us, it adds like an extra hour to our leg day. And so our leg day was legit.
I'll see you in October, my friend.
Yeah, our leg day was legit like 3 hours. Like, not kidding. I'm not kidding you. It was 3 fucking hours.
Wow.
Yeah, I was not happy. I was going hypo by the end. Brayden, we'll train together. So we'll, you're not going to experience 3 hours. You're going to pick up the pace a little bit, but you know, I'm going to be big boy growing in that part of the year.
Yes.
So that should be fun. So I might be able to finally stack up to that guy.
I'll come on my TRT and we'll go head to head and we'll see. And I hope you bury me. I want to get buried because it'll make me go harder.
Same. Dude, it's going to be so awesome. But no, we're actually adding in raw burn now for the next however many weeks. That's a nice product. I talked with Mark. Nice Mark's like, hey, I was just like, hey, can I use this? I was like, it has Yohimbine in it. I was like, you know, I do all my cardio fasted. I was like, you know, I felt great the last cardio session. I beat my time by a minute and a half the first time I used it, which was our last cardio session. I was like, I feel great coming off of it. I don't feel anxiety coming off of it. And he's like, let's go at it. He's like, it's not going to hurt us.
Isn't it only 2.5 megs of?
Yeah, it's only 2.5. So yeah. it's not anything really big, but I mean, just for me at this.
Just take 4 scoops, man. Just kidding. Nobody do that. I'm just kidding.
I was joking
if you're listening to this. I'm not actually telling him to do that. Don't do that.
No, I won't. No, but it should be fun. So I'm excited. You know, I'm using that Somagen. Using that Somagen too. So it's like the nighttime fat burner too, as well, from Morphogen, which is really good. What?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I like Somagen dropping as a nighttime fat burner too.
Wink, wink. what time do you do that at 4 o'clock in the morning? I got cardio at 7.
I've been it a couple hours before my cardio. What do you mean you pin it?
I woke up in the middle of the night. I put it on an alarm. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? But no, dude, I'm back to dieting, so I'm great. We're gonna run for the next few weeks. I'm gonna be staying at Mark's house actually when I'm in Cleveland, so that's actually gonna be
pretty fun.
Mark invited me to stay.
Invite. I like it.
Yeah, so Now it's going to be, I told him on the podcast, I want to bury him on legs. That might've been a bad choice.
Yeah, that was a bad choice, but you know what? Step up to the plate and at least you fucking swing for the fence.
Well, I told him I banded the pendulum and he thought I was a psychopath for doing that. So I mean,
psycho for doing that, but
well, that's me. Look, I have a mustache for Christ's sakes. Come on. But,
like I haven't seen him train like too many times on this stuff, but he seems to know how to empty the clip.
Mark definitely knows how to empty the clip.
I just thought of something really funny when you mentioned your mustache comment, and it goes back to the YouTube video we watched a few minutes ago.
Oh God.
So when playoffs finished and we got knocked out of playoffs, obviously I no longer had a mustache. I had a beard, very horrible beard. My beard was nothing like it is now, and it's still average at best. But anyways, we got back.
I love how Dylan looks at him and he's like, Dylan, like, as you said, average. Dylan slightly looks at your beard and he's like, I don't know about that.
So anyways, I get back to Edmonton, and of course, all my friends, you have to have a mullet. So what did I do?
Oh.
I shaved that beard into just a mustache, and I shaved the sides of my hair off. Didn't go to a barber to do it or anything. It literally was grab a razor and make a mullet out of it. And I had a very nice mullet and a very nice mustache for a very short period of time. That was when I was obviously playing hockey and partying and stuff and didn't really care about actually taking care of myself like I do now. And I went to the bar like that.
Nice. Picking up chicks. Yes.
Idiot.
Oh, bro, if people think that's funny, it's like, that's why I'm the way I am with like shoes and different things, because after my parents got divorced at 10, my dad wasn't paying for no haircut. It was like, there's a clipper. There's one of the fucking horse clippers. Cut your own hair.
Here's a horse clipper.
My own head all the time. I did that until I moved out, because that was the only haircut I would be getting. And I wasn't like, by the time I got a little bit older, like 14, 13, I was working. So I had a little bit of money, but I surely wasn't going to spend my only $40 on a damn haircut at that age. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Dude, haircuts around me are like $70.
Yeah, now. God, now.
Love it. So, but no. So, yeah, I'm slowly going to start to die again this week. We'll see. I got 4 straight days of cardio. So, we'll see how that goes. So, that should be A1. Because I did legs yesterday. I dropped down. I hit a new low day, 174.8. So, I normally never drop weight after legs. So, this is a this might be a bad sign for tomorrow. I might hit like 173 tomorrow.
Speaking of dropping weight, get this. So Tyler obviously has been.
Oh, dude, he's fucking just dude, classic. Classic.
Bro, but get this though. So obviously he was prepping his first two athletes for a show, which is a stressful feat. And he had that new job he's been working and stuff. And things got pretty slow for us. And like I had to push, I'm pushing him pretty hard now. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, we have a timeline and we need to be ready. So I'm like, all right, well, you might have to bleed for this one. And he was moving. It was moving. The show ends. So he checked in yesterday at a couple days ago, sorry, at 216. This morning, you want to know what he woke up at?
Was he in 211.8 or something?
The day after the show, when the stress is no longer gone, he's not worried about his athletes anymore. He woke up at fucking 211 this morning.
I told him that would happen yesterday.
Yeah.
Dude, that's why. Dude, he's Tyler. You're going to Classic, buddy.
We'll see. He looks. We posed afterwards.
He looks good. He put up his post today, and I want to say he actually looked really good.
His wife takes some really good pictures, so she was the one who was shooting some content for us today when we were doing that session. And we went and posed after with Maverick because he's doing Van Pro, his debut there. And then Tyler, obviously, and we were looking at them pose, and she took some pictures, and like they sent us the album to look at of all the pictures she took. Fuck, he looks, in some of those pictures, he looks really good, man. So yeah. There's still more to pull. There is, absolutely, but I don't know. It definitely ain't fucking 20 pounds.
I'll tell you, it definitely moved. He definitely moves fairly quickly now, the best few weeks.
He's way tighter now, and it will continue at this point, I believe. I genuinely do.
Yeah. Is that your next one?
No. Dylan and I are actually both going to Toronto in 2 weekends. My athlete who just competed this weekend will be doing a pro qualifier in Toronto.
Oh, so he's doing okay.
And then he'll be gunning for his Masters pro card. And I think, I mean, even talking to Paul, because I said to Paul, I said, do you genuinely think so? Like, obviously, I trust my eye. And I think Patrick's never been on a national stage. And that was one of our goals of ours. But we also, and I know Patrick, and he doesn't want to just get on a national stage, like
get smoked
and get beat like pretty bad. Yeah.
And look good and do good. And I think we can. There's Master pro cards being given away at this show. And I mean, I want to put his hat in both rings, heavyweights and pro card and Masters, and go for it. And so I'm going no matter what, because one of my very good friends who's a pro is doing his Classic debut. He's been a pro in men's physique for the past 3 years, and he's moving up to Classic this year. So I was going to go regardless, but with Pat there, obviously that's priority now.
So should be a good show. I don't know who's doing open bodybuilding in that show though.
They removed. Yeah. I don't know who is actually either. I'm not even sure.
Doing open bodybuilding? Because didn't they qualify? Whoever did Toronto last year, wasn't it after the Olympia? So it wasn't whoever. Didn't they do that with Ditto Shack? Didn't he do like 212 last year?
Yeah, Ditto did the pro show right after he did, yeah.
I think that qualified you for this year. I think, because Joel Thomas won that.
I don't think they have 212, though. I think they have...
No. I don't know. I know my buddy's doing the Classic.
They have the open pro show.
Yeah. I just don't know who's doing it. So that should be interesting.
Anthony, my client, my in-person client, Brandy, is doing that show too. Yeah. She's also going to be.
Oh, dude, she's a fuck. She's a tank, bro.
She has such a beautiful physique. I've seen her last year at TNT, a local show here that I have a bunch of athletes. The show that Tyler's doing, actually. And she won figure there. And like, I talked with her after, and she's got a beautiful physique, man. I'm excited.
She really does. She's fucking strong.
It's even cooler that Dylan's programming her training now. Like, she's working with obviously Allie Mills and whatnot, but Dylan's doing her training, and Dylan knows a thing or two about training. We think over here. So I'm excited to see what.
Dude, every single time they do legs, I'm just like, watch. I'm just like this. I'm like,
She can work too, right?
And like, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
She's got the best
phenomenal physique.
That's why I like figure and women's physique. Because those girls in both those divisions are fucking workhorses. Yeah, they're all work. Honestly, it's absolute work.
I respect every division myself, honestly, because
they're all hard.
Good bikini competitors also work.
Yeah.
It's more of
sometimes bikini, and I was talking to Dylan about this, sometimes like bikini can be also even a mind fuck, because a lot of these girls and some of my girls, like You can't overtrain
delts. Can't overtrain them.
Some of them have overpowering delts. Well,
it's hard.
You can't train some of them. I have girls that I have zero knee flexion in their program. Like, you know what I mean? And like when these girls just love training and you tell them they can't do half this shit and some of the stuff they have to do is literally just like X, Y, and Z, and you literally can't do any split squats because there's too much knee flexion. You can't do any leg press glute variations because there's too much knee flexion. Well, as somebody who programs training, imagine writing training programs where it's
three
or 4 days a week. Like it's not fun to write, and it's also not fun to perform because these people like working hard, especially the girls that are at the cusp of being a pro. Like, you know what I mean? So like if you're a first time bikini competitor, like chances are you probably aren't going to be doing a program that has minimal delts and minimal quads because you're worried about being overly dominant. Maybe you are if you came in and you were already in crazy shape and had a lot of muscle, but normally that's not the case. It's normally more experienced competitors, right? And like losing muscle is not an easy thing to do. So.
No. But I love figure and women's physique. I think those divisions are fucking awesome. I absolutely love those divisions.
I like training Brandy. It's really fun. It's like we're pretty close friends now. So when I'm, you know, we'll be training legs together and I just tell her like we'll be joking around and then it's like, okay, rest time's up. Are you ready?
Are we expecting another video sometime this week?
I'm gonna be training her on Tuesday again. It'll be her last leg session before the
show. Oh, look at this.
One last hurrah.
Yeah. No. I'm actually pretty psyched. So I'm gonna meet my when I travel up to Cleveland, I have my athlete who I'm going to be prepping. I haven't got to meet him in person.
Well, that's cool.
So I will finally get to meet him in person. And I was like, come train at Comp Bodies. I was like, I'll come train. I won't maybe not train with you, but I'll at least watch your training. I was like, I can make anything work. I was like, if me and Mark aren't training and I have an off day or something and you want to come train, I can walk you through your training. I was like, I could push you to where you need to be pushed and how you want to be pushed. And that will set, honestly, it's going to be 3 weeks from now, which is exactly when his growth phase begins, his next growth phase. So I'm like, no better time to really nail down the coffin for training than right then and there. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited about everything, the direction that everything's going. So I think that was a good episode.
We had a 3-hour chat in the car today.
We had one on the way down.
And then even at night, the last couple of days, sitting in our hotel room, smoke a little weed, have a little conversation and get into some things. And fuck, man, we got some really, really, really hard hitting cool shit planned for, what would you say, a year from now?
Yeah, in the next 12 to 18 months,
there'll be some really, really, really cool things happening. So, and obviously in between that, some really cool things with athletes and stuff and leveling up the rosters, but we're gonna do some shit, man.
Good. And I'm excited to hear about it.
In a non-arrogant way, we're actually
just really excited.
We're just really excited for what we're doing here and what we're going to do. It's passion, man.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel. Like, right. I always feel, I don't want to say it in an arrogant way, but I'm really excited for where I'm going and where my things are headed.
Yeah. I don't even know why I say that. I feel.
No, I get it. It's like a little uncomfortable, but I think what it is
just exciting.
We have the right people. Yeah. That's the way I view it. Is like, no, it's not because I'm so special and bestowed upon. Because I have a team of people and a circle of friends and a bunch of really good things. And I think probably none of us have been in this is probably the best place we've all ever stood individually. Yeah. So it's really nice.
I learned something this weekend too, from the conversation Dylan and I were having that stemmed from all this and where this all led to and planning and scheming things. For me to get to where I really want to be and what I really want to do, I know that there's things I need to delegate, and I've never been good at delegating. You know what I mean? Like I've always been the guy and I stand truly behind this. And I realize that I'll preface this by saying, so I've always been the guy that is, if you want something done right, fucking do it yourself. You know what I mean? Like that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, if you want something done right, get a fucking circle of people that can help you do it right, that you believe in, that can help
you do it
right.
That's a better plan.
You know what I mean? And like, I'm not saying that, like, I'm never going to fucking be one of those coaches that has other people building my athletes' plans. Because that's not where this is coming from. If anyone's listening, like, oh, he's going to be hiring athletes and somebody else is going to be doing the work. That has nothing to do with
this. It's all the back end stuff.
It's all the back end stuff. So we can continue to grow our athletes and then give our athletes more attention. Yeah. But there's just a lot of shit that always happens in the back end. And there's a lot of people that are very skilled at doing that shit and want the opportunity to do it. So for me, I know that I just have to because I, same thing, we have like, we have a lot of the same people in our circle and they're good at a lot of things. And for me, it's just like, okay, get comfortable with delegating that and you're going to get better in this area and that area, and you're going to be able to give more. So that was one thing I wanted to add that Dylan and I had a conversation about, and he made me realize it with this, because it was like, well, dude, why are you doing that when you could just do this? And I didn't have an answer. The answer was, well, I don't fucking want to do that. I want to just do it. I want to do it. And it's like, but you don't have to, and you don't really have time to. So they do.
Well, it was just a simple question. It was like, yeah, okay, so when are you going to have time then? Because you want to have more of what you have right now that's taking up the most of your time. So where's the time coming from to fill these gaps?
And there isn't.
And it was like, okay, yeah, nope. It was just like, there, that was kind of that.
There is no more the time.
Let's just add 5 more hours.
The sun ain't moving any slower. We're not spinning slower.
But fuck, would that be cool if it did?
Oh God, that'd be amazing. But
honestly, for me, I'm no good with a computer. So like Excel things and all this nonsense, it's like that, that's farming out for sure. I've delegated that. All of my content, I don't like goofing around with cameras and stuff. I like taking photography, but for me to edit videos and stuff, I hate that. I got someone doing that now. Well, I need to do it. It's like kind of important to grow our business, but at the same time, it's not where I shine. I shine with the athletes, leading them to be the best versions of themselves, because that's what people are actually paying me for. The other stuff is like our responsibility to handle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just smarter to, you know, I think that people should get more comfortable with doing
stuff. God, don't even get me started on the social media thing.
Nope. We gotta end. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate you guys.
Censored on this podcast. Yeah, you got
censored on your own podcast. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, I own the podcast, buddy.
Big flex, he says. Yeah.
Flexing on us.
Yeah, look at that.
Who does all the work for the podcast?
That's you.
This sir. Guy. So,
maybe we'll buy it off you.
Yeah, maybe. And then we'll delegate the work.
$1 million.
That's pretty good.
Like, I'll give you all the content. You can do whatever you want with it.
No. But you're still on it.
Like, oh good. Just, oh well, at least I know I'd still be on it. I hope so. The thing does say Spada. This has been a podcast without Spada.
This is a joke. This is your podcast.
If you guys enjoyed our episode, and you guys are watching on YouTube, definitely subscribe to our YouTube. We really appreciate. We've actually been getting a few subscribers each episode lately, so we appreciate you guys listening. If you guys enjoyed it, share it on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, comment down on YouTube. I'll probably respond if you guys do. Other than that, hope you guys enjoy. Hope you guys have a good week. If you guys are doing cardio, kick ass, do what you need to do. And we'll catch you guys next week. This was the Fat Boys, I guess. This one was the Fat Boys today. So we're no longer fat anymore, I would say. All of us are getting skinny, actually. So thank you guys for listening to this. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Ace of Spada podcast.
See you guys later.